It's become, I don't know if I want to use the word tradition, but it's certainly something we've enjoyed doing over the last number of years, in which we've invited some of our graduates to come and share a little bit of their experience and their story with us as a congregation. And so we've done that again this year, and we have two graduates who are going to be coming and sharing with you. First is going to be Aiden Gushick, and then Tristan Zimmerman. Just really hear their hearts and their stories. They've both got a great story that they're going to share, and so I'm excited to hear from them. Aiden?
Good morning. Loud enough? All right. If you know me, you know I'm naturally funny and very social. I probably won't share too many jokes, though, because Dad asked me not to embarrass the family today. So, as you know, Ryan has asked me to share a senior testimony about how Christ has called me to the ministry field. For those of you who do not know this, I'm attending Lake Beauty Bible Camp's Solid Rock one-year discipleship program. It is a program that will teach me how to serve God and serve the community as well. And from there, I plan on getting about 23 credits and moving on into the missionary field. Pastor Phil has actually talked to me and others as well, so I'm looking forward to bring glory to God in the church. So what led me to Lake Beauty Bible Camp and to serve the Lord? The Lord has always had a strong grasp on my heart. He knew before anyone what I was going to do. He had something special planned for me, but I did not know yet what it was. I've been always known that I want to serve the Lord. I knew that I wanted to do something that counted, and I knew I wanted to do something important. So I prayed to God, to show me what path to take and what would best serve him. He answered my prayer when I attended Lake Beauty, a family camp, and Brian Allens, the camp director, talked about the discipleship program, and that's the first time I knew clearly what I should do. From there, I just signed up, and I was accepted on the spot. Also, my family has always influenced me. Dad, when I was young, I remember you reading Pilgrim's Progress to me. Together, you and I would sit on the couch, and you would read through the book while I just listened, and then afterwards, we'd pray. Mom and Dad gave me my first Bible. They taught me how to love the Lord and how to care for my family and others around me. Mom always made sure I knew she loved me. She would take me upstairs in a room on occasion, and we'd just talk about how life's going and what to expect. She'd go on long car rides with me when we went to school, and she'd talk to me just about how my day is going and if everything's all right, and she was always there for me. I'm so lucky to have you as parents, just as you were so lucky to have a son like me. Seriously, though, all I wish is... all I wish is to make you guys proud, and I want to do my best, and I know I've screwed up many times, and I know I made mistakes, but you're always forgiving, and I just hope that I can bring joy to you. Caleb? Older brothers are the worst sometimes. I'm just going to put it out there. They always got everything the first. Always the first to get the car, the first to get the license, the first to graduate and get all the cool money or whatever. He's the first to get video games or even just help Dad in the shop. And so I've always looked up to him. I always felt like I was in a competition with him as well. When I was younger, him and I played on the same basketball team, and he was the senior, and he was a lot better than me. I won't admit it ever again, but he was better. And I looked up to him, and I knew I wanted to get stronger just so I could beat him. I didn't even care about winning the games. I just wanted to beat Caleb. But he helped me learn how to connect with others. For instance, the first time I attended a youth group, I was a little worried. I didn't know how to make friends. I know me, right? But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to talk to people. And Caleb, he already had friends, so he just invited me in his group, and he was open like that, and he was good with people and very social. Also, again, like I said, on the basketball team, I didn't connect well yet with my own team, and Caleb taught me just how to be friendlier, how to, if I make a mistake or get mad at someone, just how to hold it in and talk to them or just support the team. So he taught me basically how to develop close Christian-centered relationships and how to come out of my shell. So I thank you for that, Caleb. Michaela, though we did fight a lot and drive my parents insane at times, Michaela has shown me what true love means. She taught me patience and forgiveness, mainly patience. Our fights always started with yelling, but by the end of the day, we would start laughing about how meaningless the fights were, and I can't even remember what they were ever about. I will always love my baby sister. And then on to the friends. They influenced me as well. I attended a youth group here, and we always started with very fun games in the beginning, and Ryan would move into strong messages throughout the service. We talked about how to connect to Christ, the fact that we are never alone. If we're always willing to serve the Lord, he will always be by our side. And Ryan also talked to us about how Christ truly did sacrifice himself and how much we owe him for that. And one of my favorite messages was Ryan talked to us about how God will always provide and always give us what we need, as long as we are willing to serve him and be part of a Christian community. Then meeting with friends before youth group. On occasion, I have parties with friends, and they come over, and it was just a way to get to know one another outside of church and to continue that connection. We'd play lots of video games and entertaining yard games and tons of movies, and I just want to thank you guys for coming and just showing me how to have a good time around people. And Phil, Mary, you are a great pastor with amazing services and have inspired me to serve the Lord. Mary, you're a very kind person and taught me how to have a good heart towards people. So I want to thank you for all the times that you've pulled me to the side and you've talked to me and introduced me to your son and getting me started on my path to Christ. And I just think that's amazing that you do that. And then, I can't truly narrow it down to any one instance that why I would like to serve the Lord. I just know that I have a love for him, and I know that that is what I'm going to do when I grow up. I have a great family. It's an amazing congregation, and friends as well. Many of you are in here. And understanding friends from my youth group who all resemble God. That is one key feature to how to serve God and just be amazing for him. Is just that community that you get out of serving the Lord in church. God always made me happy through Alliance. So I decided to bring God to the world the same way he was brought to me, or the same way he was brought to me to give others the same heaven. That's confusing. Sorry. Let me try that again. I've attended church here for a long time, and you guys have always been amazing and taught me how to serve the Lord, and I've seen how to bring God to others. And so what I want to do is do that same thing and just bring glory to this church and to God himself. And in closing, or before I close, Ryan, where are you? Oh, there. All right. I also wanted to thank you for all the times you pulled me to the side and make sure things were going all right with me. And I was just really blessed to have a friend like you. So it feels really good. Thank you. And now, in closing, I would like all of you to become prayer warriors for me. At Lake Beauty Bible Camp, they have asked me to find what they call prayer warriors who will pray for me during the year, pray for me when I go on my trip to Israel, and just pray that things go okay and that I learn something, I get something out of the experience. So as I move on, I would like all of you to just pray for me and be that support you have always been. God truly blessed me with such a well-receiving church family, and I look forward to sharing the rest of my life with you as I move on. Thank you.
I have to follow that now. I'm Tristan Zimmerman. For those of you that don't recognize me, it's probably because most of those pictures, my hair is down to here and I chopped it off. Or I'm relatively new around here. I was born, baptized, raised, and confirmed in the Catholic Church. I attended Mary of Lourdes Catholic schools all the way up until high school, and it was okay. Never great for me, just okay. One summer, I attended a youth convention with others from my church. It was a great experience, and I learned a lot about Scripture, but when it came to the worship part of it, I was a little bit lost. I remember looking around and seeing all these other people experiencing something extraordinary, and I'll be honest, it scared me. I didn't know what to do. When I came back to school in the fall, I had a lot of questions. I wanted to know more than what my religion textbook could teach me. Unfortunately, I found that no one could give me the answers I was looking for. I was told that I should just believe what I was told and end of story. So I took matters into my own hands. I decided to look somewhere else to find that joy and passion faith was supposed to bring people. I sat down the summer before my junior year with phone book in hand and called up the first church I found. I know that God knew what he was doing when he led me here. I got in contact with Ryan and Sarah Olson, and they were more than willing to talk with me. I bet they thought I was such a weirdo for showing up with a list of discussion topics. On that first day, we sat in their living room, and I think we talked for close to 2 hours. I don't think I ever told them this, but when I got home that day, I just cried and cried and cried. I just knew that I had finally found what I'd been looking for. I knew I wasn't crazy and that I actually was following Christ. I began attending church and participating in the youth group here, just like I had before at my old church, but my experiences were anything but similar. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the way a Catholic Mass is set up, but boy, are things different. probably the most wonderful difference I found was the sense of family. The first day I walked through these doors, I was welcomed. People not only asked, but remembered my name. As a 16-year-old girl, I was taken seriously, and no one ever laughed at me for the feelings I had. You all answered my questions and made me feel comfortable, and I can never thank you enough for that. In just a few short months, I will be heading off to Bethel University to play volleyball and study molecular biology, biochemistry, and third world studies. Never did I think I would be going to a school like Bethel, and especially with the goal to serve others, but I'm so happy to be embarking on this journey with my newfound confidence and trust in my faith. I really do owe it all to Ryan and Sarah. You two truly mean so much to me. The work you do for others is amazing. And I'm honored to call you guys my friends and role models. Thank you, everybody, for the support, and I already can't wait to come back to here, to my home and my family.
I feel like I really don't have anything that would be any better to say, you know? That's nice to hear. You know, and those two graduates that you just heard from, they're both very gifted, and it's fascinating. You know, Aiden, I've talked to Aiden specifically about this, but he's got eyes, and not only does he have eyes, but his eyes see. You know, sometimes we hear in the scriptures, you know, where Jesus points out to his disciples, this isn't in my notes anywhere, okay? So I may just talk about this for 20 minutes, then we'll be done. But Jesus talked to his disciples and people. He said, you guys have, you know, eyes to see, but you don't see. Aiden has a gift that he can see. And some examples are, you know, he worked with our midweek, our Wednesday night group. I'm telling you, when a young man, a young boy, a seventh grader, an eighth grader walks through our door, Aiden sees them. I mean, and I mean sees them, and he makes the point, or he connects with them, and it's an amazing thing to watch, you know, happen, you know, and he just has this way of showing genuine care to these students. And then Tristan just blew Sarah and I away. You know, we did, you know, the way she talked about it, we get this phone call just out of the blue. You know, I'd like to come and talk to you guys. Okay, who are you? You know? You know, and her aunt Trish, I think, had given us a little bit of a heads up that she was going to be calling, and it was just, it has developed a great friendship, you know, and just a wonderful thing. But we had this high school student call us up and say, all right, I got some questions. You know, can I come over and talk? And we talked. That happened I don't know how many times, you know. And it's been a wonderful experience. But how often do you have someone like, as these are Tristan's words, I took matters into my own hands. You know, not just being satisfied with what we've been told. And I can come up here and I can preach and I can give you all these things and you can choose to say, all right, I'm just going to, you know, throw that in my gut and walk away. Or you can really weigh it. What does the scripture say? Because if I say anything that doesn't match up with the scriptures, don't believe what I say. Believe what the scriptures say instead, because that's really where the truth is. You know, and certainly Phil and I, we've talked about this before. We do our best to interpret the scriptures accurately, but that doesn't make us flawless. That doesn't make us, you know, foolproof in the sense of being able to understand everything that's there and how it should be. But God's word is foolproof, and that's what he has for us. So just, we've been blessed by both Tristan and Aiden, and whoever, wherever they end up, those people are going to be so blessed. And I say this every year for our graduation. It's just so hard to watch our graduates go to someone else. You know, it's just like, we would so much rather, we want to keep you, you know, and just know that's where our hearts are at. Well, I've only got a few minutes, really, because I do want to get you out of here in time, because Mark has specified to me that he wants to eat cake at 10:20. And so that gives me 10 minutes, and that I'll never get through it all in 10 minutes, so I might have to push you back to 10:30. I'm exaggerating a little bit, okay. And we have a presentation we want to give to the graduates. So I want to be respectful of the time, but there's a few things that I with my heart, I want to leave the graduates with. And it's something that I find, even for myself, as I work through the scriptures, it's like, wow, there's really something here that God is calling me to do as well. And it's a lifestyle type thing that I hope that everyone here can hear and then engage in looking at the scriptures. Okay, well, there's something there for me too. This isn't just for graduates, but it's for, well, if it is for graduates, all of you have graduated something, even if it was diaper school. Okay? They don't have diaper school. I made that up. Anyway, in our kitchen, we have a sink. What? And then above the sink, there's a window, okay? And every year, this happens, and I shouldn't say every year, it's almost like all year round, and it's a little bit embarrassing to say, but what happens is, this time of year, in the spring-ish, our children start bringing home different things that their teachers think are a good idea, usually in the form of dirt in a pot, and there's some seeds in it. You know, and then these kids, they have a job. They have to water it and watch it grow, okay? Kids love it. You know, they spray, they got a little sprayer, and they spray water, get it wet. They cover it sometimes in the cellophane to keep the moisture in, and then sure enough, things grow. Well, here's the thing that happens, a couple of things. One is, as those things start to grow, kids get bored, and they stop watering it. And so then everything that was growing, the grass or whatever was planted in there, starts to wither, get brown, and die off. Well, it's all good and well, but the pot stays there, okay? So we've got a bunch of dried plants in our window now because the kids have stopped watering it. And this happens every year, and sometimes, I don't know how long we make it. And this is not our fault. The kids' job is to water it, okay? It's not my job to water their potted grass, okay? Anyway, so it stays there. Maybe it's December that we finally, what in the world are we collecting this for? And we pitch it, you know, just in time for spring to roll around soon later than bring up. So right now, I looked, we have three of them in our windowsill. We have a pot of dried brown grass. We have a wilted bean in a cup, okay? And we have something that says, it's got a little stick on it, and it says carrot. I'm taking his word for it, but there's no... I look on top, it looks like little green moss up on top, and it's not a carrot. I don't know if it ever would have been, but it's all in these pots of dirt that we hold around, and I call it dirt. I know gardeners would say, oh, it's soil, okay? It's dirt because when it falls from the windowsill, it lands on the counter, and it's all over the counter. It's dirt, okay? I'm quite sure. But what's interesting is despite what happens to whatever was planted in the dirt, whether it was grass, whether it was a bean, whether it was a carrot, whatever was planted in there is exactly what could have, or maybe would have, or even did for a brief moment, grow. So for instance, when the bean was in the cup, it sprouted and it started to grow. It wasn't a cucumber. It was a bean. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and the grass, as the grass came up. Now, there's different kinds of grass, I realize, but it's grass. It's not a sunflower. And the carrot, well, that never really, nothing really happened with the carrot. So I won't go there. And some of you have heard me talk about our gardening skills. And we're not bad gardeners. We're just neglectful gardeners. It's really what it comes down to. But we have a garden. It's 2 feet by 8 feet. That's it. 2 feet by 8 feet. Every spring I rent a tiller. I till it up. I'm joking. I don't rent a tiller. It's only 2 foot by 8 foot, Ted. Seriously. Anyway. So it's only 2 foot by 8 foot. And every year we bring in some compost and we work that soil, because it's outside now. I can call it soil because it's not spilling on my counter. So we work the soil and then we plant some things. We plant a few things. We'll plant tomatoes. We'll plant cucumbers. We'll plant beets. We'll plant radishes. I like radishes. They should make burpless radishes. They really ought to. Pea pods. So some of the things, it's really remarkable what we fit into our garden. I'm thinking of expanding it around the other side of the shed, so it would actually add about a 2 foot by 12 foot section of the shed, but I don't know if I can keep up with that much, so I don't know. Years ago, this is when I was a child, I grew up on 3 acres of land. No, it's like, well, that's huge. We're out in the country, 3 acres. My dad buys a tractor and a plow and all of this stuff to work 3 acres of land. Okay, you can't do much with 3 acres. And so my grandpa, he loved gardening. And what he decided to do is he bought some of the plants. He bought 100 tomato plants. Do you know how many tomatoes you get from one plant? He bought 100 tomato plants, and he doesn't even like tomatoes. I'm not kidding. He wouldn't touch a tomato. You know, so anyway, my dad, they get all this stuff, and they're planting this garden. But what's interesting with the tomato plants, if he doesn't like tomatoes, was he expecting something else? But a tomato is a tomato. You're going to get out of it exactly what it's designed to give you. What you plant in the ground, whether I plant cucumbers or whether I plant tomatoes or whether I plant the beets, I can't. If I don't like them, why would I plant them? But exactly what I plant is what I'm going to get. And we're going to see that in the scripture this morning. I need to make sure I keep moving. So open up to Galatians, chapter 6. Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, he's addressing an issue. And the issue that was happening is you had some Jewish converts, some Jewish people. You know, they obviously grew up with the law. And when Christ came, they chose to follow Christ. But what was happening is you had these Judaizers. And what they were saying is, okay, we'll follow Christ, but what about the law? We can't let go of the law. We got to hold on to the law. And so there was this legalism that started to develop. Well, yes, you follow Christ, but you also, in order to have salvation, you have to do this, this, and this. You know, for instance, you have to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law, the sacrifice sometimes. And so what was happening is there was this confusion that was starting to take place in the Galatian church, and Paul's addressing that. And he's calling him out on it and says, no, you guys don't get it. You know, and Paul, we're going to see this. He's not going to diminish doing things, but he's going to change the outlook as to why we do things. And we'll talk about that just in a moment. And so with this reality of here are the Judaizers, you have to do this and this and this, and then you can be saved. You have to, you know, follow the law. You have to do what we say. And when you have done what we say, then you have earned your salvation. And Paul's saying, no, that's not the case. Okay? It's by grace. You know, so he's going to point that out in this passage. That's what his emphasis is. It's by grace. But then he's going to give this challenge to those believers, and he wants to be clear about it because there still is this idea that there's some work to be done, and that work that you do, it's important. And so we're going to pick it up in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. This is how it starts. Paul says, "Do not be deceived." Remember a few weeks ago we talked about being deceived. And Paul's laying it out here to us. Don't be deceived. And look at what he doesn't want us to be deceived about. He's saying, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Okay? A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so Paul lays this out here, and he says, don't be deceived. And he says, God will not be mocked. This last week, my children tricked me. Actually, Sarah had a role in it too. She was partially at fault. But what they did, they thought it was funny. Isaac was just, he was beside himself with the giggles. But they had taken the pineapple, they had cut off the top, they had hollowed out the center of the pineapple, and then they put the top back on. You know, and it's not uncommon that Sarah would ask me, would you cut the pineapple? Like if we're going to have, you know, that's my job. Okay, I'll cut the pineapple. So they hollowed it out and they put the top back on and sitting there on the counter. And I got home and I said, well, you need me to help out with anything with supper? And Sarah says, yeah, you can cut the pineapple. And Isaac gets real, just like, I said, what's the deal? And he just could not stop giggling. And it's like, what in the world is wrong with you? So I go to pick up the pineapple and I grab the top of the pineapple and just the lid comes off. Totally fooled. But you know something? You know, I was tricked. But God's not tricked. God knew that that pineapple was hollow. He knew that it was empty. And there's nothing we can do that is going to fool or trick God into thinking that something that we're not. It's interesting. You know, I talk about Facebook. People think I'm an enemy of Facebook. I am not an enemy of Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. But what I find, and this is where some have experienced this, some have not. Our culture has really gotten to this point where we want to be able to present ourselves in a way that we see as others being pleased with. Does that make sense? You know? And so often I've seen it where people will present themselves onto like a website like that. This is me. But it's nothing like them. You know, if you really knew them, it's nothing like them. And so they deceive people. Oftentimes, well, I can look at the website and I can be totally deceived. Well, this is what this person stands for. You can be deceived. You know, and we spend our lives deceiving others, but there's one person we can't deceive, and that's God. It doesn't matter what you put on your Facebook page, God's not tricked, and he won't be tricked. He will not be mocked. It will not happen. And so that's important for us to realize, because then once we come to this realization that whatever I do, okay, I'm not tricking God. I might be fooling other people, but I'm not fooling him. And then that changes to how our life even looks and the things that we do. Our lives can be very challenging. And I know that there's some here who are going through some extremely challenging and difficult things. And I don't know sometimes how people endure and work through some of the challenges that they face, and I'm awed. You know, I debated whether to call it out. I'm going to say it. I hope I'm not offending anyone, but Eldora, I was blessed by the email of where she talked about how gracious God is in the midst of her struggle and battling cancer. Now, how do you keep the faith when that's so hard, and yet you see that, and that's encouraging a while. If she can keep the faith in that kind of midst of trial, then maybe so can I. And that's kind of what Paul's even addressing here, where he says, don't give up in doing good. You know? Don't grow weary in doing what is right and doing what is good. You know, as we get older, our bodies start to hurt. This is just yesterday. I told Trent and Carrie this story yesterday at the Rock and Run. Yesterday morning, you know, I've been waking up. As I get older, my feet hurt. you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, you're not old enough yet. Or maybe you're just too fit. Anyway, my feet hurt in the morning. And so I end up in the morning, I start kind of limping around. And Erica was seeing this, and she says, Dad, you know, why does your foot hurt? And I said, well, I'm just getting old. You know, and she said, maybe you should die. It's like, what? I gotta be honest, I didn't see that coming. Maybe you should die. And I said to her, I said, maybe I should die? She said, yeah. Because if you die, then you get a new body. And I was like, okay, that was better than I thought, you know. But sometimes life does hurt, you know? And life gets really hard sometimes when we face things like cancer, when we face things like tragedy. You know, and whether we've been exposed to it or not, we're going to be facing some form of hardship. You know, this life is full of trouble. You know, Christ says that to us, and he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, and so I want to address the graduates here because I am running out of time. So graduates, everyone else as well, but listening to what Paul says here, he lays it out for us. He says, don't give up. You know, when it seems impossible to keep the faith, don't give up. Keep the faith. You know, I want to read the passage again. Let us not become weary in doing good. You know, that's Paul's talking about doing good. You know, there's some work involved. It's not for the means of salvation. That's been done by Christ's grace. When we accept Christ into our lives, the grace has given us salvation. And now it's a call, because of the grace that you've been given, don't grow weary in doing what is right. And we look back, well, what do you mean? Well, he lays it out here. You will reap what you sow. You know, if you're sowing good seeds, you will be growing good things. If you sow by the Spirit, you will reap by the Spirit. And those things are eternal. If you sow for your sinful nature, you're going to reap destruction. The word is destruction, and it really means decay. It means rot. There's some things in our refrigerator sometimes. I think we're pretty good right now. That's like, why in the world have we kept this for so long? And we can't even identify, what was this? You know? I don't have time. Graduates, it's seed time now for all of us. Now is the time to plant seeds. You know, and then I love the way that Paul concludes it afterwards. He says, then when you have sown the seeds, okay, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Okay, well, I can go out and plant our garden now. It could take me hours. It's 2 foot by 8 foot, Jeff. That's huge. I could go out and plant the garden now. I could try to cultivate it and reap it tomorrow. And would I have anything? Nothing. When we sow, Paul lays it out, he says, at the proper time, you know, good things come to those who wait. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest. And we don't always know. We expect in our culture, again, we expect things to be now, you know. Texting. You text someone, why haven't they got back to me? It's been 35 seconds. You know, we all have that. I mean, if you're at least in that, I mean, you do. You wonder, is she mad at me? You know, if I text Sarah at home, it's like, you know, I need such and such, and she hasn't gotten back to me. What did I do? Maybe she's mad. You know, if it's not instantaneous, we live in an instantaneous culture. If there's any information we don't have or don't know, we can get online and we can find it like that. It's incredible. And so patience is no longer usually something that we even strive for. But Paul lays it out here. He says, when you sow the seeds, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. And so you got to understand, now is the time to sow seeds. You're going to be sowing seeds when you go off to college. You're going to be sowing seeds in your relationship with your families. You're going to be sowing seeds when you're riding on the bus, maybe if you're commuting, okay, around the city. Wherever you are, whether you're going through the drive-thru at a restaurant, whether you're sitting down in a restaurant, you have people around you at all times. And everything that you do and how you treat the people, it's a way, in a sense, that you're scattering seed. And if you're sowing seeds to basically please me, if I'm going to get upset because the waitress was a little bit late, oh, I'm going to tell her off, I'm sowing seeds. And that's to please my sinful nature because somehow I feel like I've earned the right to cut that person down. That's sowing seeds, and that's sowing seeds of the sinful nature, and it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to rot inside. But when we've been saved by grace, Paul calls us to sow seeds by the Spirit so that by the Spirit will come eternal life. And those are eternal seeds. I need to wrap it up because I want the graduates to come up. So go ahead, red graduates, come up. Families, I've asked the families of the graduates if they're willing to join, and I've asked the elders to come around and pray for them. Now's our opportunity. As we live our lives, we're going to sow seeds everywhere we go with the people we meet. We're constantly throwing seeds down. Okay? What kind of seeds are we throwing? Is it something that's going to lead to destruction in here? Is it something that's going to lead to destruction in someone else? Is it something that's going to lead to life? Is it something that's good, as Paul says? And when life gets so hard and you want to just quit, Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. Because at the proper time, you'll reap the harvest for the seeds you have sown. We're gonna honor our graduates. We have Bibles for the graduates who are here. Also, Shanda Jennings, who could not be here, she has a table set up out there. We have something for her as well, so make note of that. And then as we conclude, we're going to present the graduates with the Bible. And I've asked Andrew to pray over the graduates and their families. And then out on their tables, maybe you've seen their displays, we have provided a book. It's a spiral-bound book. And on that is just an opportunity for you as friends, as family, as congregation members to write something for them, a word of encouragement, maybe a passage of scripture that has been particularly meaningful to you that you want to be able to share with them. I encourage you to take the time. There's pens available. They're out there. Take the time and write something to these graduates so that as they're looking down the road, maybe they're finding that they're facing a real hardship. And they happen to come across this book and they look through it. It's like, you know, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to grow weary because these people are praying for me. These people believe in me. They've got beautiful stories of how Christ has worked in them. Let's not stop praying for them as they continue on this road. So we have Bibles. Tristan, that's for you. And Aiden, that's for you. Andrew, would you pray for him?
Lord, I just thank you for all these graduates, Lord, and the young wife that's in them, Lord. I thank you for their stories, and I selfishly pray for myself and the joy that it filled me with just hearing it. What wonderful stories. I pray that you'll continue to be with them every step of the road, Lord, every temptation, every trial, every hardship that they're going to go through, Lord. May they trust you and lean on you for every aspect of their life, Lord, and when the joys come through, may they just grasp them and just bask in your joy, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your sacrifice and the full understanding they have of that, Lord. May they dwell on it as every single day, Lord, and always try to understand what it means. May they continue to search after you, and may your spirit pour out of them into every single person that comes in their path. And may others know you just because of the work that you're doing in them. Lord, I pray for their families. I pray that they'll pray for them, Lord, and they'll know when to give them advice, and they'll know when just to back off and let them suffer through the trial, Lord, and let them enjoy the joys. May they lift them up and give them encouragement when it's needed. I just pray that they'll depend on you every step of the way also, Lord, knowing that you're in full control of every aspect of our lives, Lord, and that everything you want done will be done the way you want, and it'll be done correctly. What encouragement, Lord. I just thank you for them. Thank you for their lives. And I just pray for them, Lord. I thank you for the privilege it will be to pray for them every day. In Jesus' name, amen.